Well, today, I'm assuming that you are prepared to worship the Lord. And therefore, we're going to launch right into our worship with our prayer of invocation. Would you please join me as we come before the risen Lord and pray? Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that the sun rose today. We thank you that your Son rose today. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us resurrection life in Jesus Christ. He is alive. We are alive. We are born again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your victory over death. Thank you for your gift of eternal life. And may we celebrate your resurrection and you this Lord's Day with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. And all the people said together, amen.
Our New Testament scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow.
The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the women,
"Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you."
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him.
Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Stand together as we sing this morning. Let us now affirm our faith together collectively. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament is Psalm, the 150th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you say that with me together, the last verse? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't know if I had been there and I had been there on that day when he stepped out of that tomb, I would have wanted to dance the way those singers were dancing. How about you? Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we praise you because great and wonderful and mighty things you have done. Lord, we have been astounded by your awesome power over death, over Satan, over sin. And we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we lift the name of Jesus Christ above every name that shouts to us for attention. Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. And thank you that you went to a cross for us, that you sacrificed it all for us. Lord, we receive once again the gift of your body, your blood, your forgiveness, your cleansing, the open door, the open gate, the empty tomb. And may we come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory for great and wonderful and powerful things he has done. Lord, each of us in this room now has things that you have done for us, and to us, and through us, that we want to praise you for. And I ask you now to hear us as we silently, individually lift them to you in praise. Lord, you have told us to be thankful for all things. So we thank you, Lord, for everything that we face, knowing that you are stronger than any foe that would attack us, our lives, our loved ones, our relationships, our bodies, our minds and spirits. Lord, your strength is far more than sufficient. And we thank you and praise you for that. And we ask you, Lord, to receive our thanks for our lives, just as they are and as they are becoming and as they will be. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for growing this idea, for giving birth to it, for nurturing it, for bringing it to this day, this moment, when we can celebrate the resurrection of our Savior together. Lord, bless this fellowship with an outpouring of your Holy Spirit as you did at Pentecost. Revive us again. Ignite us again. Set our feet to dancing, our lips to praising you, for you are worthy. So once again, Lord, I say hallelujah to you. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here with us. Receive our thanks, our worship, our praise in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing, He Lives. Father, truly, He is risen indeed, and He lives in each and every one of our hearts. Amen. Thank you so much. Now open our hearts and our minds and our souls to receive the word that you've prepared through your speaker this morning, through your servant, that we may open and understand and live it each and every day. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
RB, you have no idea how joyful it is to stand here and watch a good Baptist boy sing a good Baptist hymn. Boy, you really got into that, didn't you? Right. I love it. Our New Testament scripture today comes from Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I think I would have too, wouldn't you? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When you go with me to Israel, we will go to the place of Solomon's Colonnade, and we will remember this event. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Hallelujah. Peter, John, Matthew, Luke, all of the disciples could have asked the same question. Men of Israel, women of Israel, why does this surprise you? The disciples had witnessed miracle after miracle. Just take an inventory of the miracles they had witnessed, and they had witnessed them almost daily for years. But now, after the resurrection, nothing would surprise them anymore. Nothing would surprise them. God has demonstrated over and over and over that he is a God who likes to surprise. Let's think about a few of them. Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the water. Surprise! Joshua, march around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, surprise! Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Surprise! Priest of Baal, meet me over there on the Mount Carmel, and let's bring fire out of heaven. Surprise! Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, get into that fiery furnace. Surprise! Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. Surprise! The terrified sailors threw Jonah off of the ship as a sacrifice. Surprise! An angel said to Mary, greetings, you who are highly favored. Surprise! And there were shepherds out in the field watching their flocks at night. Surprise! Surprise, Herod! Surprise, Pilate! Surprise, Roman soldiers, when the ladies came to the tomb this morning, the stone had been rolled away, and there was no body. Surprise! Resurrection Day is God's great surprise! Exclamation point! No! Two exclamation points! No! Three exclamation points! And so it went. God continually brought unexpected, sometimes ironic, life-changing surprises into the lives of his people. So Peter and John asked, why are you surprised? Well, guys, think about it. You had 3 years of surprises that you experienced yourself. You met him in the upper room after the resurrection, surprise. You've had the advantage of a whole lot of faith implants that we haven't had. It's not hard for you to ask, why are you surprised? brothers and sisters, the longer you walk with the Lord, the fewer surprises that really surprise you. God is a God of surprises, and he's not done yet. I love the word serendipity. You like that word? I just like the way it rolls off my tongue. Serendipity. It means good surprises, happy surprises. History is full of them. For instance, about 3,600 years ago, I mean before the birth of Christ, actually, so 5,000, you know, a long time ago, before the birth of Christ, imagine the surprise and the joy of the first natives who discovered that they could get corn to pop. Surprise! Consider Alexander Fleming's accidental discovery in 1928 of penicillin. Surprise. Consider the little girl or the little boy at school one day, and this man walks in from Iraq or Afghanistan, their daddy who's come home. Surprise! And they throw out their arms and they grab him and hug him. What a wonderful serendipity. Consider the 1965 surprise on a blind date when Elizabeth and I fell in love with each other. Surprise! Serendipity! God's full of serendipity. Good surprises do happen. You have had them. You know that. And by the way, the next time I ask you to bring a testimony, don't tell me you can't stand up in front of people and bring a testimony. Let your tongue be loose and stand up here and you tell people about these serendipitous things that have happened in your life, coward. Okay, I got that off my chest. But consider this expression, taken by surprise. Some surprises are not always good. They're not always well received. They're not always serendipitous. Here's a fact. Most people do not like surprises. Even good ones. They don't like change. Even good change. And they especially hate bad surprises. They don't like to be shocked. They don't like to be thrown off balance. They don't like to lose control. I don't blame them. Such as the army that's ambushed. Surprise. The tornado that demolishes the home and it blows up. Surprise. The shark bites. Surprise. A bolt of lightning hits your house. Surprise. A driver rear-ends your car. Surprise. Not fun. Not fun. It's no wonder that people don't like those kinds of surprises. You don't like those kinds of surprises, and I don't either. And you've had them, and I've had them. If somehow we could just take out a miraculous insurance policy against bad surprises, if we could do that, we would probably pay the premium no matter how much it costs. And if you love somebody enough, you take out a policy for them too, because you'd like to protect yourself and to protect them from unpleasant surprises, wouldn't you? Yes. Well, consider what God has told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Surprise. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons and daughters of the light and sons and daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. God is a God of surprises, and he's not done yet. The day of the Lord is coming. And when it does, Peter and John and James and Jesus himself should look at us in the eyes and say, why does this surprise you? The disciples asked nervously, Lord, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, there will be birth pains. There will be great distress, unequaled in the history of the world. The sun and the moon will be dark. Stars are going to fall out of heaven. Men and women are going to disappear. And it will all happen at an hour that you do not expect it. Surprise. Everyone is going to be taken by surprise. Here's some great news. You don't have to be afraid about it. You don't have to fear it. We have an insurance policy. His name is Jesus. He defeated death. He's going to be there to call you to come to him. If you have that policy, say hallelujah. And if you don't, let me say to you, it's not yet too late. Because every one of us is going to stand before our Maker. Every one of us is going to see him face to face. He is going to look into our souls. He is going to make a final judgment. And those who are with the Lamb are going to be taken to God the Father for eternity. And those who are not, the Lord says, I will say to you, get over here, get behind me. I did not know you. You did not know me, brothers and sisters. You shouldn't be surprised when this happens. And I urge you, take out the insurance policy, not just because it's an insurance policy, because it is the way, it is the truth, it is the life. Jesus Christ is your Savior. But there are countless people who don't know him. There will be great wailing, Jesus says. If you know someone who doesn't have this Savior, tell them. Get over the fact that you don't want your tongue to work and you're afraid to say anything. Stand up and bring a testimony to them and tell them, Jesus is Lord. Then it's up to them what they do with it. It's up to the Holy Spirit what he does with them, to them, through them. Show them the Lord. Okay, you can't say it. You're too shy. Then live it. That's a better way to show them or tell them, is to live it. Show them Jesus. Encourage them. Pray for them. Weep for them because they do not know our Savior. What happened in Jerusalem that day should not have been a surprise to the disciples. Jesus told them it was going to happen. But you know what? They didn't hear him because they weren't listening to him with ears of faith. The things that are going to happen to all of us in an hour that we do not expect them to happen should not come as a surprise to us either, because Jesus told us they are going to happen. Have you heard him? Have you listened to him with ears of faith? Are you ready? What are some things, some other things that should not surprise us? I'm going to list some. And you should recognize them when I do, if you've been here during Lent and didn't sleep. God is a God who gives good gifts that we don't deserve and gives us some things we do deserve, but we should not be surprised that he does not give up on us. Hallelujah. God is a God who takes. Sometimes that's very painful. But he also takes away our sins. We shouldn't be surprised that he also takes care of us. God is a God who speaks. Sometimes his voice is frightening. Sometimes his voice is comforting. We shouldn't be surprised that sometimes we fail to hear him. God is a God who listens. He hears your prayers. We shouldn't be surprised that he knows the truth behind your prayers. God is a God who can be silent. We shouldn't be surprised when he says, be still and know that I am God. And God is a God who weeps. He weeps with you in empathy. He sobs over you in sorrow and anguish. because you seek peace in places where it cannot be found, because it can only ultimately be found in Him. Now here's one last surprise that we do not want to experience. Someone expressed it this way when they wrote this: I fear that what will surprise us most when we see our Lord will be the extent of our own ingratitude. Are you grateful? Are you thankful when God gives, when God takes, when He speaks to you, when He listens to you? Are you thankful even when He is silent? Are you thankful that He weeps with you? Are you thankful that He weeps over you? Are you thankful that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that He bore the pain of the cruelest type of death, execution on a Roman cross? Are you thankful that He defeated death? Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Are you thankful? But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed in Your presence. We stand amazed that You love us so much. And Father, forbid that when we reach home with You that we would be torn apart because of our lack of gratitude to You. We thank You, God, for the victory we have through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together as we sing Victory in Jesus.
Now receive the benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.